Let's get Matt. Where in the world is Matt George? What's up, buddy?
Hey, welcome into our. You guys have been in this room before. It's our green room.
There it is. Yep. Yeah. It's red, but it is the green room.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Technical term.
That's fine. What's up, buddy? You good?
With the jersey the Kings gave News 10 because nobody wanted it.
Oh, okay.
The classic gold.
That was nice of them. Is it autographed or is it just a News 10 jersey?
No, it's just the News 10 jersey. Said, yeah. Hey, take this.
That was nice of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's old gold jersey. That's good.
We couldn't get one of the black jerseys. You had to get some.
Got to get the gold. It's because News 10 is the gold standard.
Ah, there we go.
Huh?
That's a reach. Right, look, we appreciate it.
I'm trying, man.
You know one thing we haven't talked about all day, and Matt will appreciate this as well, is the start of the 40th season. Is this – I should have checked this. Is this the longest this franchise has ever been in a city? I'm pretty sure it is, huh?
Oh, it's got to be.
40 seasons.
They couldn't have been in Cincinnati or Kansas City for 40 years.
Kansas City – my guess would be 22 years.
Are you just making numbers up?
Yeah, it's just my guess would be 22.
Like, based on what?
It seems like they were in Kansas City for a little
while.
Why?
Did you remember watching Kansas City games on League Pass? What are you talking about?
40 years in Sacramento. They are, I don't want to hear, they're not even original. No, they're the Sacramento Kings. That's who they are, and they're legitimate here.
Matt, what's the number one thing you're looking for tonight?
Oh man, I'm very interested in just the first 5 minutes. The first 5 minutes I think are going to tell us a lot. Are they familiar to the first 5 minutes of the preseason? Is there more on top of what we saw in those first 5 minutes of the preseason? Because D'Lo, like you and I have discussed a number of times now, I feel like that first preseason game was, hey, look at how good we can be offensively. Okay, let's not show any more of that. Yeah. Let's not put any more of that on tape. So I'm hoping to see that, plus an added layer of things that they didn't want to showcase at all during preseason that Jay Triano has drawn up, plus the implementation of Kevin Huerter, right? The first 5 minutes for Kevin Huerter, I'm really interested to see. Does that first couple of shots, do they drop? Do they go in? And then defensively, like, do the Wolves do what so many teams did when Kevin Huerter was starting last season and try and isolate him and attack him right out of the gate? Like, that was a very common issue last season. Whoever Kevin Huerter was guarding, and Kevin was never guarding the best guy on the other team, but whoever Kevin was guarding, they tried to get that guy going early. And I have a feeling that's going to be McDaniels tonight. I'm just kind of trying to figure out, you either can put him on Conley or McDaniels, essentially, assuming Keegan is on Anthony Edwards. You're sure as heck not putting Kevin Huerter on Anthony Edwards. So do the Wolves, whoever it is, Conley or McDaniels, do they look to try and have those guys attack and isolate Kevin right out of the gate, or do they intentionally try and force a switch to try and get a mismatch with Kevin on Rudy Gobert or something? Like, do they try and isolate Kevin defensively right out of the gate? I'm very interested to see that.
Well, real quick, I got a retort to that. But they were in Cincinnati for 14 years. They were in Kansas City for only like 11 years, 11 or 12 years.
That's not a retort. You just answered your own question.
No, so what Matt was just talking about, I wanted to say something to that, but before I forgot, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Two different statements. Got you.
This is by far, like not even close, the longest they've ever been in one
place. Do you feel better?
I do.
Okay, good. That's all that matters to me.
I had to figure that out. My thought to that, Matt, which is a legitimate concern, is – if they want to start isolating those guys instead of Anthony Edwards, by all means, do what you need to do. Like, if you want to be like, hey, Conley, go pick on Kevin Huerter. All right. Fine. Not that he's not a good ball player, but what that does is that keeps the ball out of Anthony Edwards' hands. It keeps the ball out of Julius Randle's hand. And I think what they might do, though, is they might try to get him in the action when Anthony Edwards has the basketball. So if Keegan is guarding him, they run a small-to-small pick and roll to try and get the switch, and now Ant-Man is taking advantage of Kevin Huerter that way. But if they want to just worry about the matchups, like, I'd put Kevin Huerter on McDaniels. And if they want to say, we've got an advantage there, like, you probably do. You want to give him the ball all night, fine. do that. And that's how I would play the game with them. You know what I mean? They'd have their own strategy to it as well. But yeah, if they want to be more worried about trying to hunt out Kevin Herter, fine.
Fine.
Well, I see what you're saying, KC, but this isn't a theory. This is what happened last season, and it worked consistently against Sacramento. And it's not that they're not going to go to Anthony Edwards for a full 48 minutes, but if the Timberwolves decide to get McDaniels or Conley or whoever Kevin Herter is guarding going to where they have a success in the first 5 minutes so that it doesn't have to be Anthony Edwards scoring 45 or 50 to give the team a chance. Like, that was a consistent issue for Sacramento last year. And I'm not trying to pick on Kevin at all. This is, and it's not really a fear of mine more than it is a curiosity, right? Because this was a curiosity even going back to last season, is if Kevin's going to be out there, we know the offensive upside. We know he has to hit shots hitting shots is his meal ticket. If Kevin Herter's hitting shots at the rate that he was hitting in let's say 40%+. If Kevin Herter's hitting 40%+ of the threes, assuming he's going to get the open looks that we believe he's going to get from playing with DeMar and De'Aaron and Sabonis, then you live with the defense, right? Because he's that good offensively and he's that important for you offensively. But if he's not hitting shots and continuing to be isolated like he was last season, if Jalen McDaniels gets going early on and scores 7 of the Wolves' first 11 points in the opening 5 minutes of the game because they're isolating Kevin Herter and going at Kevin Herter, unless the Sacramento Kings are scoring on a higher pace, I'm not feeling good about that, because 7 of the first, 11 points or whatever are coming from a guy that isn't normally an offensive weapon for them. And you know Ant Edwards is going to get his and do his thing too. To me, it's always when you're playing a team with a star to the level of Ant Edwards, it's try and make life as difficult for them as possible, but don't let the other guys beat you. And far too many times, Kevin was guarding the other guy, and that other guy was having success because teams were intentionally trying to make that happen early on. So again, it's not a pick on Kevin Herter thing. It's a let's see if opposing teams try to pick on Kevin Herter thing, because it was common last year.
Do you and Mike ever talk about how much you hate Kevin Herter together?
I love Kevin Herter, truth be told. I think when I said this on the podcast yesterday, if Kevin Herter is making shots, he's quite literally perfect for this group. He's perfect. He's everything you need. He's someone who can catch and shoot, and he's said he's looking forward to more catch and shoot opportunities this season because of the guys that he's playing with now, instead of all the shooting off of the curl and shooting off of DHOs like he primarily did his first two seasons. But you can always go back to that and revert to that when you need a big bucket or you're trying to run an opposite set. If Herter is out there shooting threes, he's a good to great enough three-point shooter to where he's constantly going to force the defense into a very, very difficult decision.
So
right? You're going to have to – sorry?
I joke about Mike and Kevin and you and your breakdown of Kevin, but are you surprised that it is in fact Kevin Herter and not Keon Ellis?
Yes, I am. I am surprised. Now, the one thing that's encouraging for me is that neither Kevin or Trey are on minutes restrictions. So the fact that both of them, but especially Kevin, is back, no minutes restriction, and back in the starting lineup suggests that he's as close to 100% as you can get. Now, Kevin's not saying like the shoulder is no longer a factor. In fact, I asked him about that at practice yesterday, and he said, no, the shoulder, it'll constantly be like talked about and worked on and things like that. It's not like it never happened. But if the Kings feel confident with no minutes restriction, putting Kevin Herter right back out there, and this is the first action he's gotten in 6 months, since like March 18th or something like that, and he's good to go, like that suggests to me, and the same thing with Trey with not having a minutes restriction, that these guys are ready and can handle the normal load as if they were participating in all of training camp and preseason. So I'm encouraged by that. But we haven't seen Kevin Herter for 6 months. Mm-hmm. We didn't see him at all during preseason. He didn't get a single second of preseason action with these guys. He's gotten 5-on-5 action, I'm sure, with the starters, so he's gotten that kind of familiarity, but we know that's not the same thing. So, I mean, we're talking like game one, important game against Minnesota, and this is the first he's getting back out there, and you're putting him out there. And again, there's inconsistencies with how Mike talks and the actions that Mike takes. Mm. To where Mike talked so much last year about defense, 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 and the importance of defense. And Keon seems like a Mike Brown guy. Mm. But going in the direction of Kevin Huerter, plus all of the moves that the Kings have made this offseason, go in the route of Monty McNair's offensive vision for this team. So I'm not trying to suggest that there's a disconnect between Mike and Monty of how this team is supposed to go. But I think all signs point to getting this team back to a high level offensively is the top priority. And Kevin being back probably gives them their best chance to execute in that way.
I got a question for both of you guys, but I think I'm sorry. I've got the Wizards pregame on in front of me. You guys have to see how they came out of the tunnel. This is nasty work. So look, this is the in arena thing. Look, coming out of the tunnel. Look at all those people.
Oh God. Oh no. For though there's nobody there. Is that real? There's nobody there. Oh, that's tough. That was in Washington?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They came out with the flag. Oh, man.
No.
Oh, that's rough. That's rough. Anyway.
Oh, that was bad. That is not okay.
Anyway, we talk about Kevin Huerter.
Thanks a lot to that team.
Yeah, they did. They didn't name whatever other team out there you talk about, except for the Lakers. They lost to them, too. We talk about Kevin Huerter and him being ready to play and just getting back into the groove of things. One question that we haven't really asked, I want to ask both of you guys. Either one of you guys worried about Malik Monk starting off the season? Matt. One of the things that jumped out to me that James said, and I think they talked about, is he didn't get a chance to play that much in offseason. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I say worried about him, not him overall.
Slow start, trying to get back into it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we saw some of that in the preseason when he played. Aside from the first half of that first game, he struggled. Mm-hmm. He struggled mightily. So, is there any – I'm not going to lie. There's a little concern for me about mm-hmm. how he starts off the season, is how long it's going to take him to get back into the groove. But maybe it's just me. What you think, Matt?
Yeah, I actually haven't thought about that, Kenny, and I think – it's because I'm hanging my hat so much on the way he played in that, like, what was it, like 8 or 9 minute stretch of the first preseason game before he left the game for personal reasons and was out for the next handful of days because of his personal reasons. He looked normal, mm-hmm. right? He played normal. He looked like nothing had happened. He was making his patented Malik Monk kind of circus shots. He was shooting the ball pretty well. He was playing with that energy, kind of that pep to his step. So I kind of took that and I said, I saw what I needed to see out of Malik in preseason. The Utah game, he shot terribly and you could tell he was clearly very frustrated by it. I think that was when he came out of the game in the fourth quarter after being like 1 of 13 or something, and like kicked the towel in frustration. So, but I didn't attribute that to anything other than Malik was having a bad night and Malik holds himself to such a high standard that, he was frustrated that he just wasn't hitting shots, that he, like the rest of the team, was having trouble from anywhere beyond like 15 feet. Mm. So I haven't thought about it, KC, in that kind of way at all. And I can't say I'm overly concerned about Malik because everything else that we've seen of Malik in camp when he was there talking with him, there was nothing to suggest that there was anything wrong or out of the ordinary. And he was his lighthearted self in practice from what we saw again yesterday, working with he was talking with Keon a lot as they were with the bench unit and they were smiling and laughing and chatting with each other. So there's nothing about Malik's demeanor or really anything about the way he's played. Sure, he struggled, but so many guys have, that has me noticeably concerned, if that makes sense.
No, I got you. I got you.
Yeah, if you're concerned about
the Kings need him for sure. If he's not 100, if he's not ready to go or he's not playing at his best, the Kings are going to have a hard time with that second unit.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're concerned about Malik, you got to be a little concerned about Kevin and Trey, no? Maybe less Trey, because he wasn't that long ago that he played basketball, but Kevin for sure.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought about the question, because we were just talking about, like, Kevin's going to need some time to possibly get into the groove, so... somebody in the chat said, you know, I think tonight Malik is going to feed off that energy. He's a vibes guy. He's an energy guy. It's going to be up all the way up at the Golden 1 seed tonight. So I think he'll be ready to play tonight, opening night for sure.
And then he'll be up versus the Lakers, but when he plays the Portland Trailblazers, it could get rocky.
Yeah.
It could get rocky. Matt, this is your worst nightmares. We discussed over on Locked On Kings. The Timberwolves did, in fact, lose their home opener, or their season opener, excuse me, against the Los Angeles Lakers. That was also on the road, and you did not want that scenario to play out, but here we are.
Yeah, in true Matt George narrative fashion, I'm a little concerned about that. I have a hard time believing, and regardless of teams and context, it's not unheard of, but if you were to tell me, hey, Matt, a week ago, Matt, the T-Wolves are going to start the season 0-2, I would have told you I didn't think that was going to happen. I didn't think that was possible. Like, just some teams with the expectations the T-Wolves have, teams on that level, you have a hard time imagining, okay, they dropped the ball in game one, they're not going to get right in game two, right? And it's certainly possible. And of course, it all depends on how the Sacramento Kings play tonight too. But here's what I saw in game one in LA that I don't expect tonight. I don't expect the Timberwolves to be nearly as sloppy with the basketball as they were in game one. Mm-hmm. If they are, the Kings got to take advantage. And that's one area that the Kings were really good in preseason, is they forced a lot of steals and they got out in transition. Mm-hmm. So the Kings should definitely be trying to exploit that. But Mike Brown talked about the Timberwolves in practice yesterday. The first thing Mike Brown brought up is their size. He's like, yeah, they got size. And they didn't play well, but they still had a chance to win that game. We know size consistently bothers the Sacramento Kings. I expect, with the growing pains that both teams are going to have, I expect Julius Randle to look a little bit better. I also expect the Minnesota Timberwolves defense to look better than it was, because that was their calling card last season. Their defense was not good against LA. So I expect a better version of the Timberwolves tonight. That being said, I expect the Sacramento Kings to be better than the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Kings being better than the Lakers, hopefully will be able to handle a better version of Minnesota. But like we talked about on the podcast too, D'Lo, and we've mentioned a number of times on the show, that's why I think, even though you're trying to incorporate new guys and get guys back from injury, striking early is so important for the Sacramento Kings, because these juggernaut teams in the West and these juggernaut teams around the league, whether they're battling with injuries, reintroducing new guys, or simply just slowly ramping up, this is the time to try and jump on some of these teams. So I hope the Kings do tonight.